Blog Talk Radio.
Florida. To God be the glory for all that he has done
And to God be the glory for all he is about to do. We would like to welcome our radio audience to this broadcast. And we want you to know that God is still in control and that God has all power in his hand. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, no matter what the enemy tries to bring to your mind, you have to know that God is still in control. But he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I proclaim to you today that he has not some power, but he has all power in his hand. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. We are professional Christian counselors. We specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome to our broadcast Dr. Jim Normia, who is one of our panel members, and she's going to be talking about the causes of mental disorder. And we have another panel member, which is Ms. Gloria, Dr. Gloria Castor. And also, we want you to know today that you may have a neighbor, you may have a friend, somebody that you know that you want to make them a part of this broadcast and to tell them about the broadcast, because it's a very important broadcast. Today, we're going to be speaking on mental disorders. So we want you to get ready and get ready to call your neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. Now, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace before we get into our discussion on today. Come on, let's go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great, for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Our word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this power. We thank you, God, because you are God and God all by yourself. Now, Lord, those that are listening, and God, those that's going to be listening to this broadcast, God, we ask you, God, to give them an ear to ear. And God, let them, Father God, be able, Father God, to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from this important broadcast. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all those, Lord God, that are listening around the city, those that are in New York, those in Chicago, those that are in Alaska, God, as far as the listeners are, God, we ask thee, Lord, for your continued, the loving blessing, God, to be upon them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And we're going to be talking about today mental disorders. Now, we want to begin to talk about a young man named Doug. Doug is a college student, and he is majoring in business. He is also a mental patient. When his family lived in Atlanta, Doug had no unusual problem. Friends called him a loner, and he got along with others. He maintained a B average in his school, and he held a part-time job where he was well-liked. His father was a successful businessman who tended to be a workaholic, but this didn't seem to bother Doug or his two young sisters. Each member of the family had always tended to be pretty independent. So no matter what was going on, no matter what his father did or what his mother did, it seems like they gotten along pretty good and pretty well. And not only that, this young man, he had a the average, so that let him know that he was doing pretty well in school. He had his part-time job. He had a job that he was doing, and he got along with a friend. Okay, when his father's career had led to across a country move, Doug had some trouble adjusting. But he was planning to go away to college soon, so he never let it really bother him. And he knew that he wasn't going to be living there, but he was going to be away from college. So he wasn't too concerned about fitting into the new community. Everybody assumed that he would go to college and get a business degree and follow his father's footsteps. During his freshman year, Doug became more and more withdrawn. Now, we want you to kind of listen to what we're saying on today, because you find people, whether it's in your school, a college, or it could be some people at your job, or some people that you associate with, or some people at church. You find people, they seem like they may be doing okay. They may be making an A or B honor roll. They may be on the dean's list, but yet they could have something that is going on in with them. They could have a mental disorder. So Doug didn't bother, going to church, even though his family always attended Sunday service at home. He rarely went to campus social events, and as the years progressed, he began skipping class with increased frequency. So you can see a difference in his change. Even before, you can see some things that was kind of out of order, especially when we just start talking about how withdrawn from others. He didn't like to socialize. I know a lot of people don't really like socializing sometimes and being so active with other people. But yet, this is kind of what bring your attention to him because of the way that he acts. At first, he was really friendly with people. Then he began to withdraw from them. He began to skip classes increasingly and more frequently. And when Doug started missing meals, some of the other students expressed concern about this with his withdrawal behavior. But Doug stated often that he liked to be alone. Eventually, the other students quit trying to get him involved. You know how it is sometimes when you have people that, just like Doug, you was friendly to him, he was friendly to you, he began to withdraw, so you are concerned about that individual, and you try to get him involved. You try to find out what's wrong because you know that this is not the Doug that we know. Something is going on. But then sometimes people, they stop trying to be involved in your life, or people's lives that are going through something in their lives. Well, they didn't know that he had a mental disorder. And probably he didn't know, too, what was going on with him. And his parents apparently did not know what was going on with this young man. But as I said before, he told his friends that he just liked being alone. And eventually, the other students quit trying to get him involved. But one morning when the dorm was quite quiet and most of the students were in class, he tried to hang himself in one of the child's falls. So sometimes you don't know what's on a person's mind. You don't know what's going on with them. You don't know why they react in the way that they do. But had someone known, and someone would have been close enough in his life to keep seeing these changes, they could have told him, Doug, I think that you probably, man, friend, you need to probably go and see someone. Why don't you go talk to this person because I see some significant changes. Sometimes people think that you're trying to get in their business, and sometimes they may not accept you for what you're saying. But I think sometimes if you really care about the individual, and not sometimes people don't really get back off because they don't want to get their friends, their feelings hurt. They back off because of the fact that the way that the person might treat them. But sometimes, especially if you got a person in your family and you see them reacting and acting the way that Doug was acting, you see that they really needed some help. And you can see how much help they need because of the fact that this young man, he tried to hang himself in one of the showers. What was going on so bad in his mind that he wanted to kill himself? He didn't want to be any more part of the population. He didn't want to didn't care about leaving his parents or his two sisters. All he knew that he wanted out. All he knew that I wanted to end my life. So we see that Doug was having a mental problem, a mental disorder. And thank God that there were somebody that was from the college that found him, and they were able to rush this young man to the hospital. And when they heard the news, his family was confused. Because they think, you know, how successful they were. They think about the success of their other children, but they couldn't understand why Doug was doing it and why he was trying to kill himself, why he was trying to hang himself. Doug's parents wondered if they had done something wrong. And that's how it is sometimes. You're thinking, you know, my child is going through, your child is going through certain things in their life, and you think, what did I do? It's not sometimes what you've done. It's sometimes the mental disorder, it's that spirit that's trying to take their mind, that try to come against them, that will cause them to react in a way that will take them away from people, take them away from help. Because if there were people around them to talk to them and to help them, most likely they won't talk to them on themselves, and they won't have these feelings or thoughts that they don't care whether they're here or not. So Doug's parents, they thought they had done this one. What did they do wrong? His sisters were embarrassed. And they didn't want their friends to know why Doug was in the hospital or that he was in a psychiatric ward. And nobody in the family could understand why a young handsome, because he was handsome, a college student, and why he wanted to die by his own hand. And the family members, they had no idea what to expect next. All they wanted to know whether or not, would Doug get better? Would Doug... father was anxious to ask the counselor because they want to know, is he going to get better? Will he try to kill himself again? Is there any hope for his future? So I'm quite sure they were very concerned about their son, and they want to know what was going on with him. And I'm quite sure they felt helpless because they couldn't actually help him. They didn't feel that they could help him. I don't know how much of God they had in their life. I don't know how close they were to God. And I know that they had gone to church, but sometimes you can go to church, and yet you can go to church, but yet how much of what you're hearing is a part of your life. So Doug's family had been forced to encounter the world of mental illness, and that's what Doug had. He had a mental illness, and they were not sure where to turn to for clear guidance and encouragement and help. Anybody that's going through any situation like that, they need guidance. They need to ensure someone to encourage them and then nearly to make things clear for them. And I can say to anyone that if you're going through, if you know somebody that is going through this type of problem that Doug was going through, and his parents, that certainly they need to get help. I just like that scripture when it tells us I would lift up my eyes unto the hill, which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord, who has made the heaven and earth. I wonder how many times that we can think about our help, the things that we're going through. Our help coming from the Lord, who has made the heaven and earth. And I just believe that God will lead, guide, and direct us. I believe that God will come in and make the difference in our life, and that he will lead us to those people that will be able to help us as well. So here we see that he was in a situation that was overbearing, that they didn't know what to do. And then I just, before we just have a little bit more that we want to share, before we have Dr. Normia to come, who's going to be talking about the cause of a mental disorder, and we wanted to bring up this young fellow named Jack, this man named Jack and Joanne Hensley. They was husband and wife, and they was faced with a worse dilemma. And this took place on March 30th, 1981. Their 25-year-old son was in the nation capital, far away from the family home in Colorado. He was standing in a crowd outside of Washington Hilton. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, you heard what I said about Doug, but I want you to listen very carefully, because sometimes we don't think about what the family member going through, what our neighbor's going through, what the people that we know, that we think that we know, we don't know. But then, as we said before, this young man was 25 years old. He was at the nation capital, far from his home, which is in Colorado. He was standing in a crowd outside of the Washington Hilton. And nervously, he fingered a gun in his pocket. When the intended victim emerged from the hotel and walked briskly towards his waiting limousine, John Hinckley, you know what I'm talking about now, took a quick aim, pulled the trigger, and tried to assassinate the President of the United States of America. The events surrounding that tragic morning are history. Ronald Reagan and several others, people that was injured in that ordeal, but they recovered. The world, we see that they had to wrestle this young man to the ground, and they took custody of him, and they sent him to a psychiatrist hospital, a psychiatric hospital, where he has remained. So you see that a lot of things that are happening has happening, and nobody knew that he had this mental disorder. He looked like he was normal, but it proved to let you know he was trying to kill the President of the United States. In the meantime, his parents struggled to understand what was going on. And I'm like, sure, you know, my son, he's trying to kill the President of the United States. Had no idea that this was in his mentality, no idea that he was thinking of such a horrible and terrible thing. They had never known anyone who was mentally ill, and they wondered why two of their children had turned into outstanding students and leaders, but another had attempted murder. Isn't that something? They had two kids that were outstanding children, and they turned out great, but here they had a son that was trying to kill the President. The months followed the assassination, attempts were a nightmare. You can imagine, you know, how his friends talked about the parents and their family, how they was on national news, and everything to know about them, the nation knew about them because of their son, because he had this mental illness because he was trying to kill the president. The family private life was exposed to public scrutiny in Hinckley's much publicized trial. And when the jury returned its verdict, not guilty by reason of insanity, that was a national outcry. And you know, when I think about the incident when that happened, you know, it just let us know even more that sometimes how people don't understand mental illness, how they don't understand mental disorders, because the person, he was mentally insane. A sane person won't do what this young 25-year-old man did. And even after he had gone to court, and when they rendered the verdict and they said he wasn't guilty, it was an outcry. Like, what are you doing? Why are you saying that this man is not guilty? You know, they have no understand, but there are people that need help. There are people that are mentally ill. And just like we've been hearing on the news about Sandy Hook and all these people and places that people have taken people's lives because of their insanity. Because many times it's a wicked work of the enemy. It's the devil working inside of them. And then their mind, they don't have control over their mind. So therefore, it's a disorder. If it's not in order, it's a disorder, and they need some help. So the people didn't understand why would they not find him guilty. He did it, but he had no control. You know, he had no control of what he was doing. So we need to understand even more people with mental disorder. And his father and his mother, who was Jack and Joanne Hinckley, they did not retreat following this tragedy. They didn't give up. Instead, they established the Miracle Mental Health Fund to support research and to provide public education about for mental illness. And I just wanted to share that with you, because sometimes we need to understand as to why people go through things that they go through. And that let us know that we need to pray, and we need to seek the face of God, and we need to pray for our nation, and we need to pray for those in our neighborhood, and we need to pray for those people in our home, and we need to pray for people at church, and we need to pray for people that's on our job, and we need to pray that God will renew their mind, that they will not, that God will heal their mind. So many voices that are coming against people, so many sickness that they have, that you find that people are going through, that we need God help, and we need counselors, and we need a men and women of God that will make the difference in people's lives. So we're getting ready to go to Dr. June Normill, and she is going to talk about the causes of mental disorder. And we want you to get ready as she comes to speak to us on today, Dr. June Normill.
Good evening, Radio Land. Giving honor to God and to everyone at the hearing of my voice, I give you honor and greetings today. My topic today is the causes of mental disorders. The causes of mental disorder. First of all, we need to find out what is a mental disorder. When you're talking about mental, it always relating to the mind. It relates to the mind and how it is functioning. And also, when you're talking about illness, an illness is a sickness of the body or the mind. So we're talking about the sickness and the illness of the mind, but it's not being able to function the way it has been designed to function, and it causes it to have and display mental disorder. And the problem in the question has arisen many times before, and still is today, is what are the causes of mental illness? What caused people to have or mental disorder. But the exact cause of most mental illness is not known. It is becoming clear through research, though, that many of these conditions are caused by a combination of biological, psychological, and environmental factors. We don't know the answer. The clear and final answer has not been known. But we know that these conditions are caused by a combination of biological, psychological, and environmental factors. And according to a million-dollar study by the National Institute of Mental Health, at any given time, nearly one out of every five adults suffer from a psychiatric disorder. And that's a high percentage. One out of every five adults suffer from a psychiatric disorder. But the severity of these disorders is ranges from mildly disabling anxiety to schizophrenia. So there's different range and different types of disorder. But it could be something so simple, just like a mildly disabling anxiety from just having anxiety, until it could be so severe it ranges all the way up to schizophrenia. And it's many more dysfunction and things that have been diagnosed as being a mental illness. And you'll be so surprised inside the MSD book, that's a book to tell you all the different types of mental disorders that it is. And it's so many. But it all depends on the rate from one place to a place, and that some of the age differences, it makes a difference. But when compared with older adults, people under 45 have about twice the rate of mental disorder. Overall, though, mental illness is about equally divided between men and women, although there are different types of problems. But for some reason, the women more suffer from depression and phobias. And men, they have more problems with drug and alcohol abuse or antisocial personalities. Now, even though these causes are different disorders, it's different from person to person. Every man and every woman won't suffer from the same disorder. It's different from the person and are related to the type of disorder. Like I said, it's a different mental illness, different disorder, but it all depends on the person. But if you go visit a mental hospital, I work at a mental hospital, and you might see two patients that come in with the same similar diagnosis, but they have different life history which led them to the hospital to be hospitalized. Okay, for example, just like a heart attack and appendicitis have different causes, so does a psychiatric disorder. They have different causes. And like I said earlier, it's three factors that could cause and influence a mental illness to take place in a person. It's a biological, psychological factor, and also an environmental factor. And for one thing, talking about the biological factor, you see people with mental illness, it's a genetic. It is hereditary. Many people with mental illness, it run in the families. Like you may see more than one person in the family with a mental illness, they may have inherited that from a parent, and it go down through the genes from this generation to the next generation. And sometimes it skips. You may see like even one person in a whole household. It could be with nine siblings, but only one person may inherit that. And it's possible to do that. It is inherited by the gene. And it passed on the families through the genes like that. But the expert believes that many mental illness are linked to abnormalities in many genes and other factors such as stress, abuse, or a traumatic event. That could happen. That would cause the influence or trigger mental illness in a person who has inherited suspectedly to it. So a lot of things that easily can influence that hereditary problem and genes of the mental illness is things that go with it, like stress. And y'all know, and for now, even now, and life right now, as we go from day to day and century to century, that life is more stressful now than it was a century ago. It could be argued that pressure are greater at this time in history because of the present pace of complexity of life, the technology changes and demand. And it is, because now, even now, they have now the computers that's coming more advanced, and every time you look around, they got a different types of phone that they are using. When you, by the time you get adjusted to that, and then it all changes something else, and a lot of people can't cope with change, and that caused them to be stressed out. And something as simple as that could cause a mental disorder. It influenced a mental disorder to come out of an individual and to be could be damaging to that person's life and health. And it's just everything is just changing. It's everything is changing. Even though you can't stop the change, you can only adapt to it and change yourself to try to go along with what's going on. But everybody is not capable to do that. And that will cause some time as a mental illness is being stressed out. And then so even though you have the biological, genetic, hereditary things that cause people to be stressed out, to cause a mental illness, and you'll be surprised, another one in the biological form is infection. Certain infections have been linked to brain damage and the development of the mental illness and the worsening of its symptoms. And that caused mental illness. Simple things that sometimes people have even died from infections that comes on in the brain and it damages the development of the person. They can't think right. It causes them to be a vegetable. Sometimes when things are not treated in the right length of time, in the right amount, some things not given the right medication should be treated in a healthy way, it causes infection. That could cause an edge on the effects of the mental illness. And sometimes also in the biological form, prenatal damage. It could be a woman that's carried a child. And even in the womb, when the person, the woman is carrying that child, disruption in early fetal brain development or trauma occurs at the time of birth. For example, when a woman has conceived and the baby has been born, have you ever heard of a baby like had lost oxygen to the brain when the baby was being delivered and the baby lose oxygen enough and the oxygen goes to the brain, and that can cause this a person to have a mental illness. And it may be affected to develop a certain condition, such as autism. And that sometimes leads also to it dealing with the brain and the child itself. And it started not saying that a person just born, just saying they can't think. A lot of times people want to say, oh, the person just dumb. They just never learn anything. No, it's something that took place even during the time of birthing. It's something that had some kind of damage to the brain that caused that to be a form of mental disorder. And another one in the biological factor is the substance abuse. Long-term substance abuse, people drinking, using all kind of alcohol and drugs, in particular has been linked to anxiety, depression, and paranoia. Those are some of the side effects that a person will experience with long-term substance abuse use. And a lot of times people get paranoid. They start seeing things that's not there. They start hearing things that's not there. And it deals with the mind. Like we say, mental illness always related to the mind. And that's what happens when people do long-term abuse of alcohol and drugs. And it causes that. And not only that, it not only causes paranoia, another mental illness is depression. And a lot of people don't even think. They think because if you just have schizophrenia because it's so popular, a bipolarist, they'll just say that's the only two main mental disorders it is, but it's so many it's not. Even depression is known as being diagnosed as a psychological mental disorder, and it's arising, it's more prevalent than any other disorder it is that now, because you have people in everyday life that's dealing with depression, and that's a mental illness. They're dealing with depression. And they think it's normal because they think because of the pressure of life, that's just the way it is. But it don't supposed to be like that. They don't have to be like that. But you have different levels of depression, severe depression. You have manic depression. And it is a mental illness that could change and affect a person's overall life. And that comes from could be connected to also with substance abuse use, because a lot of times what people are going through things such as depression and stress, what they do, they'll try to drink themselves away or smoke themselves away, take some kind of substance use that will try to cause them not to even feel or deal with that thing that they're going through, and it sets them up to another position as mental illness disorder as such as depression. And then you get to that, like I said, another side effect you'll be having for that is being paranoid. You start hearing things, seeing things that's not there. Those are just some of the effects that come from the substance abuse use. And there's other factors such as like poor nutrition and exposure to toxins such as lead. You know, it may play a role in development of the mental illness. It's just so many different things. And also that was just some things in a biological part, like I said, the genetics, the infection, prenatal damage, substance abuse, and, you know, something just like poor nutrition not even eating right. It caused your mind not to be healthy. You can't think right. I mean, you can't function. It caused your mind to be sick. And if your mind's sick, it caused every other part of your body not to function right and to be sick. And going on to the psychological factors, severe psychological trauma suffered as a child, some as, you know, emotional, physical, or sexual abuse. Children who've been sexually abused, you know, some people have emotional abuse, being emotionally, either physical abuse as a child, that caused psychological factors that could cause mental illness a lot of times. A lot of times we see children, and they may not be acting what we may consider normal. It's because it's not what we see right there. It's always going to be a root cause on why that child is acting the way they acting. And it always deals with the mind, because even the child may be experiencing that. Some people live with that as a lifestyle, dealing with emotional abuse, psychological or physical abuse. We don't know what's going on inside home. But a child, sometimes, they have to endure that. They have to endure that, and they deal with that in their mind, and they're afraid to tell someone, so they live with that. And it caused their mind not to be able to function like they should. They don't be able to enjoy life, and it caused them, you know, to have, like, the influence of a mental disorder, and it harms their academic capability, because they can't even think, they can't function like they should or comprehend how they should normally because of what is going on, the abuse or the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, or the sexual abuse they may have experienced. And a certain thing also, too, it could deal with another factor that cause a mental disorder. You'd be surprised, but an important or early loss, such as the loss of a parent and neglect, and poor ability to relate to others. Sometimes a loss of a loved one, it sets a person so far back, and they can't even function right, and it causes another sign and reason for disability. And also the environment factor, that's another factor, the environment where a person lives, it can trigger illness to a person. And who is susceptible to a mental illness, they already have, is on the borderline of their mind not being healthy. But certain things in the environment that they have to come through and live through every day that will kind of cause it, to cause the mental disorder to come into play of their life, such as an environment, such as like a death or a divorce, like losing a person that's close to you and can't hardly cope with it. That causes a problem of a mental disorder. And then sometimes it affects not only the parents or the spouses who was involved in the divorce, but the children have to cope with and deal with the divorce. How it affects the whole person, whether they divorce or whether there's a death in the family. It changed the whole environment and the living arrangement of a person. Everybody mentally can't handle that. And dysfunctional family life, that sometimes can cause mental disorder, about whole family just being dysfunctional and the function of the whole family itself. And if you ever seen, like, the whole family is dysfunctional, you could see a child is being, you know, dysfunctional, just not acting the way they should be acting, you know, in the emotions and the physical part and the whole part. But then again, you find it comes all down to the root part of that person, and you find it talk to the parent, you can see the apple don't fall far from the tree. You see, that's what it means by dysfunctional family life. And sometimes it interferes with that person emotionally. It causes them to have a mental disorder. And we just got to get out of mind that a mental disorder just don't mean you got to be paranoid to start seeing and hearing things that's not there. A mental disorder is something related to your mind, and an illness is something that's sick. When your mind is sick and your body's not functioning the way that it's designed to be, it's a cause from that. And sometimes, like I said, the whole family could be just like that. It could be also like it could be hereditary, biologically, from gene to gene. But sometimes in the environment factor, it's the environment that a person is in. And they're pick up that same behavior, that same characteristic. You see, a children could be disrupted and cursing, they don't respect grown people. And you talk to the adult and the guardian of those children, they just reverse it to the child. You say, well, I see why that child is acting the way they act. Same thing. So it also could be a factor in a dysfunctional family life. And a lot of times, too, also in the environment factor, it's feeling inadequacy or low self-esteem and anger or loneliness. And a lot of times, low self-esteem, it plays a big part in a person's life when it can deter or determine if that person is going to have or experience a mental disorder. Low self-esteem is with a person, the way they see themselves. That's why it's always important to build up a child, build up an adult. And you have to build up yourself. You build up yourself by the word of God. You be around positive people. And a lot of times, people who you look up to. And sometimes they may not be that example and that person for you in your life that caused you to have strong characteristics, to feel strong about yourself, and you just feel low. But when they get to a point like that, we got to know what the Word of God says about us as individuals, about being children of God, and God, His desire, purpose for us. And then you got to know, you have to encourage yourself, and you have to be around positive people. But you just pray, and God will find a way of escape to call someone to come into your life that will cause you to build up your self-esteem, for you to see yourself the way God sees you. And another thing is, too, an environment factor that causes people to have a mental disorder will also be a changing in jobs or school. And that could affect anyone from an adult or either from a child, change. But that's something that is happening. We can't stop a change from going wrong in this world today. It's steadily changing. But we have to find a way to know how to adapt. Either if you could adapt the best you can to deal with it, then you won't get to the point that it caused you to be a point that it misses you psychologically in your mind. Because sometimes people can't handle changing in job, changing in school. But we have to deal with it. And we have to find a positive way that we could adapt to that. Because even if some job, technology has changed, and some people have lost their job because they're not equipped adequate enough to keep up with the time or the pace of what's happening now. And because of that, that also caused them to be depressed. And then when they come out to be depressed, it caused them to be in one of the main things I'm going to talk about briefly is about an answer for suicide. And that's one of the most highest traits and one of the most highest disorder that come from being depressed is suicide, because the enemy, such as the devil, has told people in their minds, and people feel within themselves in their heart by not being able to deal with stress and ever stress. They feel that that is the way out, but it's not. It's a sometimes the pressure of life gets too intense, and individuals decide to take their own lives. You know, most have thought about the idea for weeks or months before. And a lot of times when people just commit suicide, it's just not very seldom, not saying it ain't possible, very seldom when a person, you hear about a person who commits suicide, it's not just a sudden cause of suicide right then. It's something that has took place, or found it, something that took place before that person get to that point. It's for, like I say, stress, could be more of depression, low self-esteem. It's something that has taken place to cause that person to do that. But they say suicide acts are rarely sudden. That's true. It's very seldom that it's rarely just happens all of a sudden, impulsive or random. Although there are tragic cases such as teenage suicide epidemic. And there, a lot of times when you see and you might hear about teenage suicide, and God, we have to pray for our young people because that is so on a rampage, such a high percentage of that. And you hear other children, and you see other children doing that. You know, they call that a copycat syndrome, you know, to do it because somebody else done it, stuff like that. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And you wonder, why do people, you know, sometimes turn to act of self-destruction, you know. And there could be various reasons. And I talked about something before. And some of them is there's escape from loneliness, hopelessness, prenatal problems, parenting problems, depression, epidemic from work or school difficulties, financial pressures, or conflict with other people. And a lot of times you think because, as it been said too, like people, they have a job. You hear about people like on Wall Street, all of a sudden you don't hear about people jumping out of windows and killing themselves, committing suicide. You'll think, and they would thought they was on top of the world because their security was in financial gain. It was in money, but that's not the answer that caused them. That's a mental disorder. When your mind tells you to do something like that, it's a mental disorder. That's a mental disturbance. That's not healthy. That's sickness of the mind, sickness of the body, to take your life because of things that are going on in the world. Not saying talking that it's not possible, because that is happening every day. But that's not of God. And a lot of times people commit suicide to punish surviving people who are still here, to make them feel hurt or guilty about a situation. And a lot of times people do it to gain attention, either to manipulate others, you know. And then some people just do it, commit suicide. That's a mental disorder. Suicide is not the answer. That's not of God. But just the reason why people, some people do these things. Some people do it, they want to join a loved one who already died, and they'll avoid punishment. And then they might have done something they feel guilty for. They want to find a way of escape, and they want to turn themselves out as far as killing themselves. And then sometimes people want to kill themselves and commit suicide, prevent themselves from being a burden to others. But we know that that's not the way. But what we have to do, and those are just some of the reasons, some of the factors, environmental factors, psychological factors, and biological factors that will cause this mental disorder. And those are everyday things that we're living with now daily. So that's why we have to pray for our mind, pray for our mind, and keep our mind on God. The Bible says those keep the mouth of him, he'll give us that perfect peace. And some things is just we can't help, and it's a lot of things have been said that people have sinned because of sin, they have a mental disorder. That's not true. That's a theory. Can't be proven the fact, because a lot of times if they be on help, like I said, people come in the world, you know, with brain damage, a lot of illness and sickness cause mental disorder. But we know God is the one that have the answer to everything, even the things that have changed for us in our lives and the mental area. You know that God would give us the grace, and he would give us the pace, and give us the people in our lives that cause us to be able to endure, because he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we just thank God for just giving us the insight about some of the things that could cause this mental disorder. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Normiel for giving us that insight on the causes of mental disorder. And she has given us so many examples of things that happen to people and why people have these mental disorders and what happens to them in life. And as she said, a lot of times, you know, many people, they think about schizophrenia and bipolar diseases, a disorder, but there are many other things that are happening to other people. And one of the some examples she had given was also a person that can have going through depression, or somebody that have a manic depression, or going through stress. Some people are going to have poor nutrition. Some people may be going through paranoia. But it's so many things that there are people that they have encountered. And I like when she was talking about sometimes, you know, when people are going under a certain amount of stress, and also because of change, sometimes people are not readily apt to change, and it stresses them out. And sometimes with how they handle change, some people don't know how to handle change and stress in their lives. And she mentioned about the different computers and the things that people go through and have to, if they're on a job or they expect it in order to be able to do things and make change. For some people, it's really easy. For other people, it's not so easy for them to change in certain things. But we must be able to help others. One of the things that we have to acknowledge that that there are people, they could be in a family, and there could be, as she said, there could be one person, could be several people in a family, just one person, you can see a difference in that individual, or you can see maybe a relative, somebody have experiencing. You can see why one person acts the way that they do. They're part of the same family, same genes and whatnot. So when we're talking about when a person has mild disorder, sometimes the symptoms, they maybe not even hardly know this. But when it's severe, then we can see that there's a change. We can see sometimes it comes on just like the his disorder came on. And then when we see the young man that was 25 years old that shot the president, then we see that he had a disorder, and he had something that needed to be dealt with. There are things that in people's bodies that they need help. They need to help someone, they have to understand what's going on and to help them. And most of all, you may be going through a situation in your life, and you may be going through some depression for whatever reason. You know, different people have depression because everybody's not going. going through the same thing, but yet they may be depressed about something in their lives. And so we need to know how to handle that depression and that stress and the things that you may be going through in your life so you don't take it to the next level. And then sometimes people need that help. A lot of people need help in the daytime that we are living in. They need God's help. And I thank God for every Christian counselor, because I am one. I thank God for counselors, and I thank God for doctors and whatnot. But I thank God most of all for God himself that is able to move in our lives and to do miraculous and able to do the supernatural. And if you're a person that, you know, do not know God, and you're a person that even if you know him and you need some help, you need to seek that help from above. We'd like to really thank Dr. Normeal today, as she's being one of our panelists on the Crossroads broadcast. And we want to really, at this point, to be able to go before the throne of grace. We only have a few minutes, but we want to pray that there may be those that are listening today that they help know someone that have a mental disorder, that may be going through depression and maybe going through some bipolar type disease, or maybe experiencing schizophrenic, or they even have a manic depression. We want to be able to pray with you. It doesn't matter, because God is able to give you, even if you're going through stress, God is able to give you that peace that you need. He'll give you peace that's above our understanding. Even whatever it may be, as you said before, I think Dr. Normeal mentioned too, it could come from poor nutrition, you know, not eating properly as well. So there are so many things that can bring about mental disorder. So we want to go, we want to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done and going to do. Now, the Lord God, today, God, we want to put before you, God, those that are going through mental disorders, and God, those that know people that are going through mental disorders, God. God, those that are, as we have had mentioned on the broadcast, so many people, for lack of finance, God, for lack of not being able to keep their homes or their cars or whatever it may be, or have a job, God, they're going through mental stress. So, Lord, I pray even now, God, and even though they're going through mental stress, Lord, they are taking pills and alcohol and drugs, and God, they're trying to drown their sorrows. And at the same time, it is making conditions worse. But I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, to every person that's listening on today, that you, God, would give them that supernatural healing in their mind, in their soul, in their spirit. And I pray, God, that you would touch them, Father, from the crown of the head to the soul of the feet. I pray, God, that you would make the difference in their lives. God, your words, they ask, and it shall be given. You said to seek and you shall find. And you said to knock and the door shall be open. Now, Lord, we ask thee, God, in behalf of these people, God, that you will move on their behalf. And, God, that you will fight every battle for them. All sickness, all diseases, Lord God, that they have a counter, that the enemy we pray even now, God, that you will touch them. And God, that you will revive them, we restore them. And God, that you will cause them, Father, to walk in wholeness and real and true healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Realizing, God, you paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. So, Lord, we know, God, that there is nothing too hard for you to do. And God, we ask thee, Lord God, to heal, to touch. God, not only those that are going through the but God, those, God, that know, have friends, and those that have relations and families that are going through things in their life. We pray now that you would touch them and that you would make the difference. And God, even if there are people that are listening, God, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, you say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raised him from the dead. You say that we shall be saved. But Lord God, those that are not saved, those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, God, those, God, that have not had that relationship with you, God, that awesome relationship, Father God, with you and with divine connected to you, I pray, God, that you, God, today will forgive them for their sins, that you would tap into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the healing that has gone out even as we pray. And I thank God as deliverance, God, has gone out as we pray. And Father, all form of sickness and mental disorders, Lord, I pray even now that you would touch the individuals, Lord God, and that you would make them whole, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And this we bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We again would like to thank you for listening to the Crossroad broadcast here today with Dr. June Normill and with Dr. Barry McCoy. We will, our prayer is that you would join us on next Monday at the same time as we come to you again as Christian counselors, and we have we'll have a topic of discussion that will be most interested to you, that you can be more blessed. May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.